Today's reading continues in Peter's letters. In the Pew Bibles, page 1218, 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 10. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's so nice to be with you.
We're having a few little minor details, but it's going to work out. It's going to be fine. Actually, it kind of fits in with the sermon this morning. I got really excited when I heard that you were doing a series on Peter, because for the last 20 years I've been in a church called St. Peter's, so I'm rather an expert. Just thought I'd tell you that now, okay? But Peter, I just love him because he gets it wrong, doesn't he? Lots of times he just gets it wrong. And he's impetuous and all kinds of things. And yet it's this young man that Jesus says, "I'm going to build my church on." Whoa. Incredible, isn't it? And I've always found it quite encouraging. All right, confession time. I know we've done confessions, but sometimes I get things wrong. I know it's hard to believe that, but sometimes I do. And I just kind of feel, you know, even St. Peter got things wrong, and he got things really badly wrong. But in this Bible reading this morning, he gets it right. He's absolutely spot on. So I'm hoping we've got our first slide. He says, "Jesus is the living stone, chosen by God and precious in his sight." Does that sound great to you? That's amazing. That's fantastic. It certainly does to me. And that's the first part, if you like, of the good news from this passage this morning. Because when we uncover it, as we will, and go into more details, we start to understand that it's not just about God, it's about us as well, the church. Good news, good news. Now my next slide, I'm hoping you'll recognise it. Now I'm going to ask a question. How old is this building? Anyone know? Go on, you can shout out. 130 years, you reckon? That's quite a time it's been standing, isn't it? And when I look at it, it looks very solid. And it's lovely and cool in the summer, warm in the winter. It seems to have a very secure roof, which is always good news. And I thought it would be just good to look at some of the stonework. It sends out a powerful message. All are welcome in this place. And this is a building that has been built specifically to worship God. That's a powerful image, isn't it? But I must tell you something. This building is dead. The stones don't move, which actually is probably a good thing. They don't breathe. They don't worship. It's not until we enter this place that it becomes alive. So why would Peter use the words of Jesus as the living stone? In a way, it seems a bit like an oxymoron, doesn't it? You know, stones aren't supposed to be alive. We all know that. They're supposed to be heavy. They're supposed to be static, inert. Yet, when we come to Jesus Christ, the ultimate living stone, something supernatural happens. You are not dead, inanimate rock, trapped in your old ways. You are infused with the resurrection life of the Holy Spirit. Wow. The cornerstone can do what other gifts cannot. It makes it possible for us to actively grow, to breathe, to be shaped. Take, for example, you can't see it, my engagement ring. It has three beautiful diamonds. They're cut and they're set in a gold setting. Did they always glisten this way? Do you think? No. At some point, they were dug up, looking very much like any other stone. And then they've had to go through a process of shaping, bits being chipped away, polishing, before you get this lovely result. And I guess we too, as Christians and in life, go through different processes. But Jesus has as our cornerstone, he allows us to also come to life by building our lives on him. So, you know, stones are dead, diamonds are dead, but in Jesus, we come to life, we get shaped, we become something beautiful. On my next slide, Frank E., I hope I say his name right, Gebelin, noted that there was strong evidence that the rock, or stone, was understood by both Jews and Christians as a messianic title, the Christ. Jesus was not merely another religious teacher. He is God's chosen foundation for life itself. So the next slide. Having established that Jesus is the cornerstone, we must remember that a building is not made up of one stone, but many. If we are those stones, then there is a collective. When people say, I'm a Christian, but I like to keep it to myself, and I don't like to go to church or anything like that. Yes, they are professing a Christian faith. However, I think I would then go on to challenge them, particularly from this passage and many others in the Bible. If we are living stones, we need to work together to build the kingdom of God. And there's a problem if we're not engaging. I'm sure at Christ Church you are engaging, by the way, so I'm not sort of pointing any fingers. People don't tend to do well in isolation, do they? Their world shrinks. They become inward looking. It can affect their health, their well-being. Now, I'm not saying that we all need to be extrovert. That kind of sounds like a nightmare scenario, doesn't it? If we all went around, you know. But I am saying we do need each other. And in choosing not to engage, everyone suffers to some degree. Now, I appreciate that this is perhaps for some of us uncomfortable. And, you know, sometimes in life, it is right for us to withdraw. There are periods in probably most of our lives when sometimes we just do need to step back. So I'm not suggesting we should always be on a front line or something. You know, there can be all kinds of reasons. But what's concerning is when we don't find a way back because we almost become too isolated, a stone just on its own. Every time you show up here, you engage and connect. You add structural integrity to this church family. There you are, that's really affirming. You're here, you're making a difference. So what is this living building that we are being built into? On my next slide, in verse 5, talks about a holy priesthood. This is a picture of a priest in the temple. He looks quite formidable, doesn't he? And actually, to talk about us being a holy priesthood, at the time of Peter of the early church, this would be quite shocking. If you're coming from a Jewish perspective, then the priesthood was clearly understood. It had rules, it had roles. There were chosen people, they carried out specific tasks in the temple, and nobody else was allowed to do those. And now we hear there is a new order. The old one has had its day because God is actually with us in this place, in our lives, and not just in the temple, with access just to a few people. Everything has changed, and now we have been given that role. All the stones, not just a few. So, of course, the next question is, what are the spiritual duties as the living church of Christ? Well, one of the first ones is to praise. We've done that this morning, haven't we? We can tick that one. Praise. Singing together on a Sunday. Thanking God day and night. Praising God. Secondly, if you go to the next slide, acts of service, giving our time, energy and resources to help those in need. And then thirdly, sharing the good news, telling others, going out. Good news. We have good news. I think sometimes we forget it. You know, people probably see us coming in and out of church and go, oh. And sure, not here in Christchurch, obviously, but in other churches. And they wouldn't have a clue that we had such amazing good news. We have good news. And we have a priestly imperative. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to give and receive praise. I know that if someone says something nice to me, I have to say my natural instinct is to feel a bit embarrassed. Like, I don't deserve it. And I genuinely often think, I really don't deserve this. And also, I don't want to be big-headed. But I've learned, actually, still learning, I have to say, if others are genuinely being encouraging, and that's good news. And from this place of encouragement, I too can go out and encourage others. For instance, if you went out for a nice meal, would you say, oh, this is a nice meal? I imagine most of you would, wouldn't you? Yes, of course you would. You go, oh, that was a lovely meal. Thank you so much. We need to be doing the same. If Jesus is the living stone who transforms us into living stones, let's praise him and rejoice. Let's be motivated to be his royal priesthood. Now, I recognise that today in our society, there's a lot of pressure to build successful lives. What do they look like? You've been looking at this pile of bricks here, haven't you? And thinking, what are those? This is a game called Jenga. And I've built this tower of bricks, sort of signifying life and the things that, different building bricks that are going into life and building my little tower, if you like. I have to say, a couple of people already noticed, I obviously haven't had lessons in building Jenga, and my tower doesn't look too secure. So, being the kind of person I am, I want to encourage someone else, Jules, who's kindly volunteered, to finish off building my tower. But you're not to start yet, because you need some help. No, you can stand by the box of bricks, but you're going to need a little bit of help. I want people to shout out a reason for a brick to add to this tower. And they've got to be things that perhaps we feel we need in this life, or we feel people expect, or ambition and things like that. And then you can add a brick to this and hopefully not knock it all down. No pressure. Go on, go for it. Anyone got any ideas? Family, yes, good one. Yay. It is. Anyone else? Music, yes. Sunshine, lovely. Sorry, miss that. Empathy, oh, you are good here, aren't you? Any other things? Trust, yeah. Humour. Encouragement. You're very spiritual, aren't you? Wow, this is an amazing church. Any more? Sorry? Honesty. And there was another one. There was, yeah, so I was hearing two at the same time. We get there, because actually it's quite fun to see how... Rain, yes, rain. Sorry, that took a while. Any more? Leadership? Patience? Love? Football? Especially when England are winning, or Scotland. Homes, yeah, where we live. Education, yeah. Sunshine again, yeah. Babies, kindness. They're going to make you work hard. You're doing really well here, Jules. Oh, no! Hold on to it. Hold on, no, no. Take the last brick off. Take the last. We'll stop there. No, you can't sit down. I just didn't want it to be me when it fell over before we got halfway through. So there's lots of things we kind of build our lives on, don't we? But which of these, if they were taken away, could we carry on living with some of those ones that have been shouted out? Can we take any of those away? Sorry, Jules, this is where it becomes very tricky. Football, we could get rid of football. That was said with a lot of feeling. No. You can take one from the top. I'll let you take one from the top. Yeah, go on. Yeah, let's not play Jenga properly. This looks a bit too precarious. So we can get rid of... Is football the only one we can get rid of? They were, I was hoping there were some bad ones here, but actually, you're far too lovely here. Any of the ones we can get rid of? We could get rid of your home, couldn't we? No. Let's get rid of a home. Any others we can get rid of? Sorry, I missed that. Bossiness, we can get rid of bossiness, yes, that would be good. Any others we can get rid of? Yes, whoa.
Criticism?
Yeah, go on, go for it. Any more? Jealousy, greed? Expectations? Yes. Right, Jules, the next one I think you should take from the middle. Come on, give us a bit of entertainment. Come on, come up with a good one for her, because we haven't got one for her to take out yet. Famine.
Can I just say, I did not sign up for this, okay?
So if... Ooh.
Don't breathe.
Go on, we're doing one more. War. Go on, go for it, Jules. You've done this before, hasn't she? Well done. Now, we can add and take to this tower, can't we? And, you know, some things we may think are necessary, others not. But I wonder, if we were to take the cornerstone, what would happen then? Do we want it to take the cornerstone? Yeah, let's see what happens.
Hang on, you're going, what are you doing up there? The cornerstone's right at the bottom. Yeah, go for the bottom one. You can use two fingers. Let's see if it keeps standing. No! Thank you. Yeah, you can now.
So, you know, the cornerstone is, you know, Christ the cornerstone is absolutely crucial to everything, every aspect of our lives, good or bad, and of this world. Now, I know at Christchurch, you're embracing a bit of an unknown at the moment. You've got parish plans you've put together, you've got a great PCC, great, fantastic church wardens, there's lovely hospitality. I had an amazing warm welcome this morning, and I have to say, the administrator is superb. That's because I work in the next office to her, but she's great. You know, you're building lots of things. There's lots of scope here. The building, your house groups, your outreach. I look through and I think, wow, there's so much that's good. And at some point, a new leader will be coming and you'll be finding ways forward into the next part of the life of Christchurch. But in the midst of that, let's hold on to the one who is our cornerstone as a church community and as individuals through this time of transition and put our faith and trust in Jesus. Ask that Christ shapes our decisions and a life built on Christ will stand. In a spiritual context, a cornerstone represents the foundational anchor, guiding principle or ultimate truth upon which a person builds their life, faith, or community. It symbolises stability, alignment, and the absolute standard by which all other values and actions are measured. Sadly, not everyone sees the value of Jesus. There's an old story about a pioneer family that lived near a stream in the Rocky Mountains. For years, travellers stepped on a large rock sticking out in the water while crossing the stream nearby. Later on, one of the settlers removed this rock and used it as a doorstop because it's quite heavy and it made a really useful doorstep. Years later, a young geologist student visited and immediately recognised the rock. The next slide. It was the largest gold nugget ever discovered in that region. For generations, people saw the same object, but only one person recognised its true value. And in a way, Jesus is much the same. Some people see him as a religious figure. Some see him as an obstacle. Others ignore him completely. Next slide. But those who truly know him recognize him as the greatest treasure in the universe and our cornerstone. Amen.